Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the Coalition of Peaks released a landmark report on community engagement shaping new national agreement on closing the gap. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Jamie Lowe. He's the Chief Executive Officer for National Native Title Council, NNTC, and talk about this fantastic movement forward. On the line, Jamie, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Now, brother, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Jamie.
Yeah, Jeffron Gundajamara man from down the southwest Victoria that way. And I'm calling in today from Wollongong country in Melbourne.
Beautiful, fantastic. Yeah, thank you for coming to the program. So a conversation's been had, meeting's been had, and regarding our partnership with the Australian government, and look, led a comprehensive community engagement process between September, December last year, 2019, prior to COVID-19, and regarding closing the gap. So how are we looking in this space, my brother?
Yeah, looking hopefully better than before. Closing the gap now, it's been a policy of the government for over a decade now. And, you know, late 2018, all the peace got together and said, you know, we need to take a bit of control here. And so, of course, the last 18 months, we've run a pretty deep community engagement process to inform the new closing the gap refresh policy. So, you know, we've ran, you know, we've engaged, you know, over 4,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, 70 face-to-face meetings, a lot of online engagement as well. So it's been good. We've been up to the Torres Strait, all corners of the country to talk to our mob about, you know, what their needs are.
And what are your key findings with the engagements with our mob, brother?
Well, I think some of the key findings have been that, you know, we want reform. We don't want to be having this same conversation in 2030, another decade down the track, where, you know, we've got the same situation and same, you know, significant gaps, you know, our people through housing, education, justice, et cetera.
Yes.
The strong community kind of focus on, you know, resourcing our people and our community organisations to deliver, you know, outcomes and for our people. So, you know, that's one of our priorities moving forward.
All right, fantastic, brother. And you don't want to be falling on deaf ears, and we don't want lip service. We need action, you know. The old saying, well done is better than well said. So government need to come to the table, but don't walk away just with a piece of paper and put it in the so-called in-tray. We need action on the ground, yes?
Yeah, action's what it's all about, action and outcomes, rather than kind of just another policy document that gathers dust and, you know, kicks along. There's going to be a pretty deep accountability process, on a regular basis. So it's not something we're just going to look back in 10 years' time and get our first look at it. It's going to be reviewed on constantly for the states and territories and also the Commonwealth government with us at the table with them.
Yeah, we're talking about employment, so we're talking about health, we're talking about education, but also comes to the table is systemic racism as well in this country, on the sporting field, in the offices, and just out there in general interaction with our mob.
Yeah, so racism, as we know, we've lived it. We've heard it, both in our workplaces and our social lives. So, you know, that's at the heart of it, and being able to engage, particularly in mainstream services, that's one of our other priority reforms, is kind of, you know, straightening them up so they're delivering better services for our mob. So there's not that kind of racism barrier there. We need to break that down and kind of, you know, our mob can, you know, access those services better.
And tell us about the Coalition of Peaks, brother, the organisation that you head up there, brother, and how it came about.
So late 2018, Closing Gap Refresh is coming up, and all the peaks got together, led by Nacho, and I pay my respects to Pat Turner, who's kind of been a strong staunch.
And she's your co-chair with the coalition, isn't she?
Yeah, she's the co-chair with the Commonwealth Minister, Minister Wyatt. She co-chairs peaks. There's a joint council with all the state ministers, and also we feed up documents which used to be COAG and now it's the First Ministers. We feed up the line there with closing the gap.
And you don't want to be a tiger without teeth, so to speak. Hey? You want serious conversations at the table with the government, and also actions behind the information put across the table in regard to demands or our mob closing the gap, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got the right people around the table, and that's the first thing. And hopefully then the leadership can kind of influence the bureaucracy, because a lot of the times it gets lost in the kind of the bureaucracy and people just kind of kicking around, keeping them in jobs. So need to keep the delivery to account.
And so what do we expect from that? So where do we go from here? Are we what's a turnaround point on the conversations at the table?
Yeah, so the new Closing Gap Refresh will hopefully get signed off mid-year by the First Ministers, and then we start the implementation of new reform policies and trying to strive towards those closing the gap targets. So that should happen within the next 3 or 4 months, hopefully.
Yes.
And then we can get on with business.
Well, fantastic. And no pandemic is going to stop that conversation and the action behind it. We are still in the phase of COVID-19, but business as usual in regarding to the coalition of peaks. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's full steam ahead for us. We can't, wait any longer for our mob. The pandemic is there, and it is what it is, but we keep on forging ahead with our work.
I love your work. Well, thank you very much, Sharon, Jamie. All the best to you and the team there. And like I said, big shout out there to your co-chair there in Pat Turner AM, the work that she's doing as well. So fantastic. Thank you for sharing, my brother. All the best to you. You stay warm, stay safe, and stay black and deadly and strong, brother. We'll talk soon, eh?
You too. And shout out to all the mob up there, up north. Keep them warm.
Beautiful. Thanks, brother. Bye-bye.
Thanks, brother. Bye.
A beautiful yarn there with our brother Jamie Lowe. He's the CEO of National Native Title Council, NNTC, and talking about heading up the Coalition of Peaks. And they've released a landmark report on community engagement, shaping new national agreement on closing the gap. So watch this space, and working towards closing the gap. And we sound like broken records, but yes, it needs to be closed in more ways than one, and all parts of our lives as First Nation people in our own country here, Australia. Have you say your mob, yarn up strong. The deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumba Brit Media 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Team effort to Daily Mob, give me a call. 1-800-422-416.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBM 98.7 FM.
Very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. How does the world look after COVID-19? Well, post-COVID-19, why childcare needs more transition support? And look, that's the question being asked. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with the National Foundation of Australian Women spokesperson, and that's Murray Coleman on the line. Murray, very good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, yeah, we're looking for a light at the end of the tunnel post-COVID-19, and when that light does come, life after COVID-19? And the question that the National Foundation for Australian Women is asking, why childcare needs more transition support? Please explain why.
Well, I think the fact is that many childcare organisations, particularly some of the not-for-profits, were not doing very well before the change to COVID special funding, but there's almost no doubt now that there's a very strong expression that very many people are not going to be able to have enough work to pay for childcare at the kinds of costs that they're likely to face. In addition, we've got the situation where a huge number of the people who work in childcare, nearly always women, really have very bad working conditions. They're very badly paid. It's a very difficult industry to be left, as the government is proposing to do, quite suddenly, with a return to older funding systems and the taking away of the JobKeeper subsidy. Now, the government is going to make some money available. It's a little bit unclear just what the details are, but through transition, and they're going to ease the activity test, which will mean that some parents who are working aren't having as much work as they would like to have will still be able to use childcare. But the fact is it's still going to be too expensive for lots of people to afford. Now, our view has been that it would be a very good opportunity for the government to have a commission, perhaps a couple of studies, maybe from the Grattan Institute, maybe from the Productivity Commission, maybe both, to come up with some options on a completely new approach to using the very significant amount of taxpayer money that currently goes into childcare but still doesn't produce something that's satisfactory to most people who need to use it.
So pre-COVID-19, Murray, the childcare industry were behind the eight ball from the get-go, and now with COVID-19, well, post-COVID-19, it's going to leave them in a worse situation there again, yes?
It's going to be in a worse situation yet again, and it's going to be very difficult for some of the more specialised services, such as those dealing particularly with the needs of Aboriginal families or those dealing with people with children with disabilities and so forth. The system isn't set up to cope properly with those groups, and we need to make sure it is.
And when you look at post-COVID-19, employment across the board, a lot of people are going to be struggling. And if they've got less money at the table, so to speak, or if they're down one a wage income earner in the household, they won't be able to afford childcare, yeah?
Yes, I am, yep.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that hiccup there. My question to you in regard to post-COVID-19, when you look at across the board, industries, employment, it has changed. And some people, families are going to be struggling regarding finances, especially if one wage is down. And so childcare is struggling in that department for the families, yes?
That's absolutely right. I mean, a lot of the work, the areas, the industries that employ a lot of women are in difficulty anyway, if you think of hospitality, for example, and tourism.
Yes.
There's just going to be a shortage of work until the economy does pick up, and that means that a lot of families are going to have a very big drop in household income. So childcare is going to be a huge issue for them while they're both looking for work and carrying out any work they can get. The government really needs to be quite generous about transition, but it also needs, I think, to commit to taking a fresh look at the whole system.
So when you look at them, I believe, well, I know that I'm singing to the choir here, but when you look at our children who are our future and future Australia, we need a strong foundation in regard to their learning capacity. And so childcare is very important in that degree, yes?
Oh, it's extremely important. It's very important in giving children a secure, safe and stimulating environment while parents are at work. And it's also extremely important in terms of helping children prepare to go to school. It's quite critical. I mean, I have great-grandchildren who've been using childcare.
Yes.
They're little boys of 3 and 4 and 5.
Mm.
3 and 5, actually. The 4-year-old would hate me to say that.
in trouble.
They've really been greatly encouraged and developed in childcare, and the older one is just starting now at preschool.
Mm.
And they love it.
Exactly.
And, you know, the childcare has been invaluable in helping prepare them for that. And I think that's not just true for these two little boys. It's true for lots and lots of children.
Well, exactly, you know, and so it's a very important space, and the government needs to come to the table, so to speak. Look, it's a conversation that needs to be had, and a robust conversation as such. I thank you very much for sharing, Murray. All the best to you and your team and your family, especially the little red grannies. All the best to you, and you take care and keep smiling, okay?
Do my best. Best of luck to you and your listeners too. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Dedly Yarn there with Murray Coleman, the spokesperson for NAMFOR, acronym for National Foundation for Australian Women, and talking about post-COVID-19, why childcare needs more transition support, which is very important. People are struggling at the moment regarding employment, what have you. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people are surviving because of JobKeeper. And if JobKeeper then disappears, then people are going to be struggling on one wage and they won't be able to afford childcare. So very important conversation. Government needs to come to the table and look at the transition very, very closely. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Deadly number 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarning with the Baldy and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So give me a call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Armstrong here on National Talk Black, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say on that number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Going to catch up with the man organising the march here in Cairns, Sam Bacco, my brother. Very good morning, Sam.
Hey, good morning, Trev. How are you this morning?
I'm well, brother. I'm well. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Just running around organising, and getting things organised for our rally on Friday.
Yes.
The 3rd. Just wanted to give a shout-out to all the family out there and let them know that the rally, because of race, because of race that we can be discriminated against with legislation, you know?
Yes.
And that's Section 5126 of the Constitution. You know, people should read it because we don't come under the race power, you know?
Mm.
But, Trev, just, you know, invite all the family, the COVID safe stuff. We're doing everything to that. We have a permit.
Yep.
We'll have Professor Graceland, Auntie Grace, speaking. We'll have Murundu Yana, Angela Nui. We've got a young person, Auntie Henrietta Fourmile.
Mm. Yes.
I might even have to say a few words myself, and then we have an open mic.
Too deadly, brother. Strong black activists for our mob, you know, our voices for our people, and an opportunity for them to speak and talk about race in this country, brother.
Yeah, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lives matter.
Yes.
And that's, because of race, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lives matter.
Exactly. And the march kicks off at 9 o'clock from in front of the Cairns Base Hospital?
Yeah, in front of the Cairns Base Hospital where the skate park, and then we come back against the traffic. So we've got the Esplanade, the street shut off from 9 till we get to Fogarty Park, and then we'll have our speakers at Fogarty Park.
Good. Yeah, brother. Fantastic. So welcome one, welcome all brothers and sisters, all our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters who are in support of our call, and that's what it's all about, my brother, isn't it? Building bridges.
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic, my brother. Thank you for the work that you're doing and the team behind the scenes, brother. And look, it's a tool we use this day and age regarding marching.
Can I just announce to our listeners as well that yours truly, Mr. Trevor Timms, is going to MC for the first part of the
day. Glad to help too, brother. Glad to help.
Until he has to leave to come and do this deadly show, and keep our voice out there because. Yeah, mainstream ain't listening to our voice, but, when our mob listens, they're going to listen to 98.7.
Yeah, too deadly, my brother. Thank you very much for your support that way as well. You're too deadly, Sam. We'll be in touch, my brother. Thank you very much.
Thanks, brother.
Too, bro. That's Sam Becker there. He's the organiser for the march here in Cairns on Friday 3rd. And that's 8 a.m. Joining and making the meet and the partying at 9 from the Cairns Base Hospital Skate Park all the way down to Fogarty Park, you mob. They are also operating with safety plans and regarding COVID-19. So, yeah, do attend and support. And you can also listen to all the speeches that are going to be happening there at Fogarty Park. All right, you mob, have your say, yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call for National Talk Black. We're now going to go to the Which Way Yarning segment, and it's where we have our communication, our conversation with Edmonton Police, and we're going to catch up a yarn with the Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, and I believe is Acting Inspector of the Country Patrol Group as well. On the line there, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, good morning, how are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor, how are you going?
I'm well, thank you very much. Just you on the program, brother?
Just me today and working from home, would you believe?
Oh, would you believe? Fantastic. Working from home, community safe. So let me ask, are you on day off or are you operating from home? You are working today?
Yeah, no, operating from home.
Good.
And, kicking goals from here.
Oh, fantastic, my brother, fantastic. Our topic today, teenage substance abuse. Look, it's raised its ugly head again. It's out there and we need to protect our young ones. We're talking all facets, aren't we? Alcohol, drugs, inhalants, all the above. Is that right, brother?
Yeah, that's right. And look, these things tend to sort of raise their heads around school holiday times. Kids sort of got a bit more time on their hands, but they're not absent from our community. They're there all the time. And it's something that parents need to have those conversations with their children and, and discuss the issues of harm that they could be causing to them.
Well, exactly, and look, we've lost young ones along the way and got into worse situations in regards to crime and what have you. And look, it's not good for their health, of course, not good for the community. And so a domino effect in regard to the negativity, yep.
Yeah, that's right. Their brains are still developing, when they start engaging in risky behaviours, the last thing we want to see is them being intoxicated by either alcohol, drug or an inhalant, and, then we end up with bigger issues, those kids are more likely to come in contact with police on a regular basis if they're using these substances.
And I suppose the message that we can put across the table to our parents, it's about they're doing their bit as well, making that communication, making that strong. A lot of young ones would lean on towards negative stuff like that just to be a part of the circle or be part of the group or part of the team, so to speak, like peer pressure is another avenue there. But if you're loving that person in the mirror and being strong about your vision for your future and your goals and dreams, then you don't need that stuff.
That's exactly right, I know it's something that I harp on a lot about, but good mentors in these children's lives is hugely important.
True.
Good role models, good mentors, and that's something parents should place as much importance to as they do with their kids' education. Who they hang around is going to influence their behaviours.
Yes.
They'll become part of their group, and the group we want them to be part of is people who make right decisions, Look, we're not anti-alcohol, of course. That's certainly a...
As long as you're in control.
That's right. And, you know, and that's where we ask parents to model the behaviour that they want to see in their children. So if they're, you know, if they are going to... If parents are going to drink alcohol or, you know, or friends and family around the children, if they do it responsible,
yes,
they're more likely that the children are going to, you know, behave in the same manner.
Well, the children are watching you, and you are leading from the front, so to speak, in everything you do and everything you say. And so it's about being aware of your actions and what you say and how you perform and how you deal with fellow neighbours and communities and the likes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And also knowing where to get help, you know.
True.
Look, I know. You know, we try and teach our kids to avoid using drugs. But some are engaged with that drug use, and it's just knowing how to help them through those stages of their life to move away from those behaviours.
Mm.
And inhalant abuse, that's on another level again. You know,
yeah.
they're getting a quick high, which doesn't last long, so they have to use more of that substance, which is the whole time damaging. Their body, you know, and they are at risk of seizures, or look, their heart can stop. So that's the big concern.
Well, that's the long-term effects on inhaling using may include some of those effects. And just mention some of those effects again, please, Glenn.
Yeah, look, long-term effects there, liver and kidney damage, hearing loss, bone marrow damage, loss of coordination and limb spasms, delayed behavioural development, and brain damage. You know that. You know, we're hoping our children are going to grow up, you know, good contributing members of the community, live life to the full, play sport, and become great parents themselves. And they're going to have sort of these medical issues because of what they've done as a child. It's going to make a big difference to the quality of life they live.
Sure. And what about counselling and support agencies? You want to mention some of those?
Yeah, well, like Yeti is a very important one over here in Cairns. They're very active with our youth. That's Youth Empowered Towards Independence.
Yeti, yep.
We've got our Wootchoppin Health.
Of course, First Nation Health Organisation, Wootchoppin, yep.
Yeah, they do a huge amount of assistance to communities up here. We always have our ATODs. You know, any alcohol or drug dependency, ATODs are very helpful. But never, ever discount your local GP. You know, that they normally know your family history. And sometimes, like, if children or adults are, like, presenting with long-term drug or abuse issues, your GP has probably been mapping that for a long time. So they're always very handy people to talk to.
Well, brother, it comes with a bit of weight in regarding when I yarn on this topic for a man been on planet Earth for 54 years, never ever been drunk, don't take drugs, yeah, you know, like high on life, you know. Peer pressure wasn't a thing with me. I played football with the biggest alcoholics, druggers and going, loved my brothers very dearly, won championships, but peer pressure wasn't a thing. I was always in control of what goes into my body, and you don't have to take the stuff to be a part of the circle of friends. They say if you lay down with dogs, you wake with fleas. So you did mention is who you associate with, very important.
Exactly, and mate, you are an awesome role model for a lot of younger Indigenous Australians, you know, and hopefully parents use that as an example of, you know, you don't seem like a sad person because you don't seem like someone that feels he's missed out.
Mm. And a true friend is love and respect you for who you are and what you do, and if you're not taking the substances, then, you know, they should respect you as such, you know, and if not, you need new friends is what I say.
Yeah, exactly. They need to respect your decision making, and you know, and at the end of the day, you're responsible for yourself. So
exactly.
But we need to sell this to our children because, again, they're still developing. You know, they're trying to learn who they are as an adult.
Yes.
Who they will be, and you know, they need a little help from parents and the whole community to put them in the right.
Look, if we need support and help by the boys and girls in blue, who do they call, brother?
Oh, look, you can always call us. We will always help out, you know, local police stations. You know, the message I want to get across is that if children are going to engage in substance abuse, they're more likely to come in contact with the police on a negative reason.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, I think if feel children have dependency. Police can certainly place people into contact with some of these support agencies.
Sure.
But actively seek them out yourself as well. You know, there's some great help out there.
Exactly. My brother, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team. Enjoy working from home and get back on the computer and do your job, brother.
No worries.
Senior Sergeant, thank you very much. You take care, right? Adele Yarn there with Senior Sergeant Len Deloy, Acting Inspector of the Country Patrol Group, and he's from Edmonton Police, and a big shout out to Edmonton Police. And that little segment, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni IGA, and they give us a box of fruit here at Bama Bripa, Healthy Living, Healthy Lifestyle, message we deliver. And so in regard to the substances, alcohol, drugs and inhalants, make the right decision. That's what it's all about. Life is choices. In the situation we're in today, is nobody else's fault but our own regarding choices we made. So you as a young person, you as an old person, whoever you are, make the right decision. That's what it's all about. And love and respect your beautiful body and look after it. That's what it's all about. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All ears there for your yarn, 1-800-422-416. Call the number Yarn is yours, truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And we're housed at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM, Bama Bripa Media, 98.7 FM.
Nils provides a safe and affordable alternative to payday loans or rent-to-buy, products which promise fast cash but often compound a person's financial situation. Loans up to $1,500 are available. Repayments are set up to an affordable amount over 12 to 18 months. There are no fees, no charges, no interest. To be eligible for Nils, you must have a healthcare or pension card, earn under $45,000, $60,000 for joint applicants or people with children, and you must be able to repay the loan. Nils is based on trust and respect. To inquire about Nils loans, call Shaq in Cairns on 4080-7400. That's 4080-7400. Shaq is a local Nils provider for Good Shepherd Microfinance.
Station sponsor.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I've been rooting next with the sand, smoking weed with spin. Drunk when the week start, drunk to the weekend. Project the condition from a mission bad, and I don't pretend to fake moves. I'm from the old school cool, that's how I'll be with energy deadly to get me out of this hell. Rock melodies heavenly with the story to tell. That devil tried put death on me, I'm paying the penalty when I'm without my family. Insanity surrounding me, I must find the remedy for me. It's HIP, HOP, not OPP, other people property. I'm no thief, I got beat when police give cheap. When I walk city streets and all I seek is peace, love, harmony, funky beats and freeze. You wanna mess with me, I'll kick your heart and your teeth. On FB, gotta deal with this pain and this grief. Gotta turn a new leaf, cause my life is brief. Did my son, my daughter, my nephew and my niece of that R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Don't see me boy, where's my people right now? We're dying economically, we dying in poverty. Singing huh, what you wanna do right now? Climb economically and find black sovereignty. Yo, everyday people, everyday is a struggle. Come to make a stand, put some muscle and hustle. The struggle is the trouble that we face every day. We'll just face the pain and more strength we gain. Singing me wanna speed, then I'll help him my breed. We'll still stick in the missions where diabetes and high blood pressure, lung cancer. My people died early from that, I had no chance to hunt with them, chuck a line with them. Tender culling up the scrub and shoot a white pigeon. Now boom boom, go to fortune, dropping two scrub in. Show it off into my car, singing him again. How'd you do that? Where'd you get that? Where you shoot that bird? In a national park, at the dark, a yellow bird. Bird, 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 where your bird is the word. But I'm still tripping on the streets, in the southern suburbs. I'm singing war, where's my people right now? We dying economically, we dying in war.
Yeah, Brother Nation, where my people at? My people right here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn, your mob. National Talk Black, too deadly, 1-800-422-416. We got Tony Gibbs on the line. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm Trevor here. Rainy day. We hope it's going to be fine on Friday.
Yeah, that's right, for the marsh, my brother. Fantastic, yeah. And Mother Nature doing its bit, trying to put it off, but we'll be strong in numbers, my brother.
Yes, I really hope so, and there's a lot of community radio. I hope there's a lot of white support for that too.
And there always is, my brother. We've got so beautiful non-Indigenous brothers and sisters out there that respect our fight in regard to recognition of our mob and stamp out racism, brother.
Yeah, that's right, because they're all living on new fellow land anyway. Listen, after yesterday, mate, I read out that thing about the bloody oath, the coronation oath. I want to rename it the coronation lie. If I can just break it down a little bit, mate, and I've got a couple of paragraphs from another letter here afterwards. The Queen has broken her vows. You know, the oath is a vow. The Queen has broken her vows and is not maintaining law and customs of the realm and all the people and inhabitants in their spiritual and civil rights and properties, the land. And anyway, I've just... The coronation oath... She's reneged on it. I've got an open letter to Her Royal Highness Queen Elizabeth II here. And I hope England can hear this message from Australia. Now, it's about three paragraphs. It's not very long. The letter's from Michael Anderson, well-known activist.
Yep.
From the Sovereign Union. And it's addressed to the Queen. Do you remember your first visit to Australia in 1954 when the Royal Powers Act, 1953, that's the year of the coronation, the powers of the Governor General were transferred to you in order for you, the Queen, are you listening, to assert your prerogative powers? Later at this time, you then assented to an act of the Australian Commonwealth Government titled the Aborigines Ordinance Act. The act was designed to forcibly remove all Aboriginal people from their lands in the Australian Capital Territory around Canberra. You caused whole families to be broken up and displaced to government-controlled concentration camps that they called Aboriginal mission stations at Nowra and Cowra. I think that's where they held the Japanese too. Under the management of government-appointed white commandants. I'm halfway through this, mate. By removing them to these mission stations, you authorised the wholesale destruction of a people who were supposed to come under your reign. And I suppose mission stations includes Yarraba. The recent Commonwealth Act, that is the 1993 Native Title Act as amended in 1998, continues the genocidal acts of the Australian government who continue to be under your reign. We ask, when will you stop assenting to Australian laws to continue to deny our right to exist? When will you stop assenting to exist? When will you stop assenting to laws that deny our rights to the lands that your predecessors stole from us? They did by declaring and classifying us as idiots and lunatics who were without God and government. This in turn permitted the Crown of England to take title and possession of all the lands of my peoples in Australia. When will you permit us to talk to you about this so that we can ease the pain and suffering of our spiritual ancestors and their descendants of today? We only seek justice, peace and unity. You can help us ease the pain and suffering if you wish. That's by Michael Anderson.
And if you look at it, it sounds like a form of slavery, and apparently there was no slavery in this country, was there not?
Oh, well, it's all bullshit, isn't it, mate?
thanks for sharing, brother.
Yeah, I just, this is more reasons that when the Queen is not doing her job and she's the head of state, well, you have to send her a message, eh, mate? And I'm getting ready to make my second edition of the yarn. And you've got a few copies here to cover, and that's what I've got to do.
Yeah, beautiful.
If it's printed, it stays. I mean, we can talk on the radio and it's gone, but writing stays.
Yep. By any means necessary, using the tools that are available, and you're digging up information from the past, which is vital information about our fight as an activist back in your time as well at the Tent Embassy down in Canberra. So thanks for sharing, my brother.
Yeah, I was down there, and they were really excited when that letter came out, and I don't see anything has changed, so that letter is still valid.
Yes, exactly. In okay. writing, brother, it's in writing. There it is.
It's in writing. So thank you all, and that's...
Tony Gibbs, you have a good day, my brother. Thanks for sharing, eh?
It gives everybody more right to do what they're doing. Thank you.
Exactly. That's Tony Gibbs there having his say here. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. Live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, COVID-19 has put a dampen on a lot of industries and the world as we know it, but also the gaming industry. And I'm going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Charles Livingston, Head of Gambling and Social Determinants Unit, Associate Professor, School of Public Health and Preventive Medicine on the line. Dr. Charles, very good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. How are you going up there?
I'm very good, thank you. In Far North Queensland, yes, we're doing good up here, weather-wise. And look, we're still under the spotlight regarding tourism, waiting for that to open up its doors, the big industry up here. But also we have the Reef Hotel Casino up here as well. And look, that's the space you're working in. And look, a reduction in high rollers pose a massive threat to casinos. Is that the case?
Well, it depends on the casino. I mean, most casinos... all casinos in Australia get most of their money from pokies, from poker machine gambling, and that's usually the local people that are doing that. But it varies on the casino. In Tasmania, the casinos get about 10% of their money from table games, and some of that comes from high rollers. In other casinos, more or less of a percentage comes from high rollers. But all casinos suffer a little bit or a lot from the absence of these high rollers. Of course, they've all been shut to everyone. So, you know, they're really suffering a revenue problem at the moment.
Look, the industry provides a lot of employment in all facets. So it's leaving a big hole, so you could say, in the economy?
Well, it isn't. It isn't. I mean, the problem with gambling is that it tends to be not a particularly constructive way of, you know, doing economic activity. So, but particularly pokies. I mean, pokies, if you spend $1 million on the pokies, you create 3 jobs. But if you spend $1 million in a restaurant or cafe, you create something like 20 jobs. So, you know, it's a redistributive activity. It takes money from communities. And this is the problem. You see, most casinos make most of their money from the pokies, and most of the people that are playing the pokies are local people. That's money that's not going in the community generally. But I agree, there are certainly problems with employment when these places aren't open. They do create a lot of jobs, and although, you know, we might think better ways of spending the money, the jobs are still very important. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and so with the closing of casinos, thanks to COVID-19, it's put a dampen on casinos and how they run their business. But then people in general, I mean, the Australian constituents have saved a lot of money as well and probably help prevent gambling problems as such, yeah?
Yeah, there's no question of that. We've had a lot of people talking to us in the last little while who said that it's the best thing that's ever happened for them because it's given them a chance to restart their lives and to save some money. And I mean, I've had one lady on another radio program who rang in and said it was the first time she'd saved any money for 20 years and she'd been able to buy kids' birthday presents and things. So for some people, it's been a real blessing. For other people, you know, people who depend on it for work and everything, I appreciate there's problems for them too, but it's also been a real blessing for many people.
Sure. So is there a lot of support in this area regarding Gambling Anonymous and helping people curb this so-called addiction as such?
Yes, well, there is. I mean, everybody can get free counselling by calling what's called Gambler's Helpline. You can just Google that, but it's in all states and territories, and you can get counselling either face-to-face or on the phone or online or whatever. So if you have got a gambling problem, there are services that can assist. But I mean, one of the best things that we can do is start to think about how we reopen these places. I mean, when they reopen, they've already reopened in New South Wales, but when we reopen them around the rest of the country, there will be fewer machines operating, there will be fewer people allowed into the casinos, and so their revenue model is going to change a bit. But it might well be an opportunity to say, well, this is a time for us to reduce the number of machines and make them a little bit less accessible so that people who do have problems will have that little bit extra help.
Sure. Look, and it's up to the individual as well, and being in control. It is an entertainment as such, in regard to pokies and gambling, what have you. It does provide employment across the country. So very important space is what I'm going to say in regard to nice entertainment. Light at the end of the tunnel. How's the look in regarding if the so-called high rollers don't come back to the country?
Well, they're probably not going to come back in a hurry because the Chinese are not encouraging people.
Well, that's true too.
In
all facets, all the industries, they've got bean a bonnet at the moment, haven't they?
They do, and like in my industry, higher education, we've got real problems because the universities rely a lot on international students. But look, I think the reality is that the industry will reopen, and all industries in Australia are going to go through a period of recovery. Some of them will take a long time. Some of them will take a shorter time. I think gambling will probably recover pretty quickly because, after all, most money that goes through gambling machines and gambling casinos and stuff comes from local people. So, you know, they'll be trying hard to get the locals to go to their casino and spend all their money. And I guess, you know, it's up to us to make sure that people are protected from the worst extremes of harmful gambling.
Yeah, very much so. Look, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing, Dr. Charles. All the best to you and your team and your family. Look, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Yes, you too. Take care. See ya.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Dr. Charles Livingston, his name is, Head of Gambling and Social Determinants Unit and Associate Professor, School of Public Health and Preventable Medicine. And casinos are good medicine for some people and not for others, but in actual fact, our conversation there was a reduction in high rollers pose a massive threat to casinos. Most of them come from international sources, including Chinese tourists as such, so may leave a hole in that space, so to speak. But it looks good entertainment, but being in control, and for gamblers who have a problem, then Gambling Anonymous is the organisation you need to call. Make it all right. Have your say, you mob. Yarn up strong. National Talk Blacks is the organisation, is the company, is the program that I run here, and the host is the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We got Cross the Nation, thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416.
Got no money in my pocket. I don't drive some fancy car. I don't have much to offer. Just me and my old guitar. There's no big house, no nest egg. All our things are second hand. But she tells me she loves me for doing the best I can. We don't eat out, we eat in. We wash up and watch TV. I don't spoil her too often. She says that's all right by me. If I could buy her diamonds and roses, would I feel more of a man? When she tells me she loves me for doing the best I can. Maybe someday there'll be roses, a big house, a family, rainbows in. But
Too Deadly, that song, Todd Williams, and love the title, Doing the Best I Can. That's what you need to do. You might do the best you can. It's your daily program, National Talk Black. Going to catch up with Selwyn. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, brother. Brother, I'm going to say a big shout out to Tony Big Brother. I like your story on the first post, and it's better hearing him on yesterday talking.
But yes.
But the two channels, the black and white TV,
yes.
They had an ABC or a commercial channel. I think it was about that time in the 70s. Tony might know too as well. They had a black and fish. I think Blackwell had a cracker, black comedy. Gary Foley, Bob Noble. And there's another actor, Superboom, brother.
Exactly, yep.
They have a clip on it. Well, Superboom is Zach Martin, brother. He's a guest in Cast Up and Coranda, brother.
Mm.
Yeah, and anyway.
You there? Someone. Hey, Richo, lost you there, brother. Give me a call back if you can. So we've got about 3 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black. We go across the nation. Thanks to Nurse Your Mob, 1-800-422-416. We'll try and get back. Someone finished their conversation. Got cut off there. But all good, Your Mob. In answer to the line, you can also text 045-714-0550. Too Deadly. Let a sick band here on your daily program, National Talk Break. We've got Greg on the line. Greg, good morning.
G'day, mate. How you doing?
Good, brother.
Good. In relation to what Tony's talking about with his letter, he needs to get in contact with Murumu and Gunyara from Udimji country.
Sure, yeah. That's another avenue. Exactly.
They've got contacts into England, into the palace, from what I'm
good point.
To believe.
Good point, yes.
So put them together, and I reckon we can, by the sound of what Tony's got, man, that's just like starting a wildfire.
There it is, brother. It's about time. Yeah. And you're the bridge builder. You're making the connection, aren't you? Too Deadly.
Yeah, working on it.
Thanks, my brother. Good All talking right. with you.
Let you go. Have a great day.
Bye, bro. That's Greg there calling, having a say. Tony, hope you picked that up and get in touch with Murumu and Gungara in regard to First Nation law, L-O-R-E, with the Udinji government here and in this country and this land here. To Deadly, Mob Murray, going to sign off. Thank you very much for your company. Look, Deadly Yarny, as always, thank you very much. Stay in touch. And you call that number tomorrow, 1-800-422-416.